Okay, so what we're gonna do is, I assume this will take us 2 days, but who knows? It could take us one, but I doubt it. This is a very odd Yerushalmi. It appears three places in Shas, and sometimes you have, sometimes you have a sugya and you try to understand what does it mean, and you try to understand the maskana. That's not what's going on here. In this Yerushalmi, what's weird about it is that everybody understands the maskana. Everyone understands the halacha. It makes a lot of sense. And no one has the slightest idea why anyone ever thought otherwise, such that it was asked. Because if you had asked me this question, I didn't know that it was in Yerushalmi, I would have thought it's a bad question by some weird achron. And I would have said, oh, please don't ask me that question. I can't deal with it. Let's move on. Obviously, it's fine. But then you see that it's in Chazal, and then you're like, oh, well, it's Yerushalmi. Maybe it's a typo. But then it appears three times, and I gave up. And I said, okay, apparently this is an actual question. Exactly. So this is the question. This is the entire version that appears in all the places in Shas, which is, Mahu latzeit b'yayin shel shvir. Are you allowed to, and this is talking about Arba Kosot, are you allowed to use Shemitah wine for the Arba Kosot? And Tanya Rabo Shaya, Yotzin b'yayin shel shvir. Hoshea says, yes.
Okay.
Okay, we're done. Right? So a good halachist would look at this sugya and would say, aha, the answer is yes. There is no machloket about it. I don't understand what the weird havamina was. Let's not think about this. Let's not think about this too much. Let's free ourselves from the weirdness that we are about to but unfortunately, you know, I mean, I am a good halachist, but I do think it's important to try to understand what the Hava Mina might be. Okay? So there are many suggestions. So let's for a moment pretend that you didn't spend morning Seder reading these shittot, and tell me if you saw this in the Yerushalmi. What is your reaction when you saw that question, or when I started screaming about it a week ago when I started dealing with the sugya, right? What would you say? Why would you think that this would not be the case? Now, in case you're wondering, besides for the Shabbat, this also appears in Pesachim Perek Yud Halach Aleph, and it appears in Shkalim Perek Gimel Halach Bet. What?
That
for some
you already had a full meal,
so
having the last few cups
would be a chilas gasa. But why would that, then wouldn't be much of an arba kosot either?
What?
Then it shouldn't be much of an arba kosot, because a chilas gasa is not a chila.
The wine bichol should not
chila
be
a chila. Chilas gasa is not a chila.
Yeah.
So take for an example. Take a classic isser achila, eating on Yom Kippur. If you eat on Yom Kippur, let's assume the easiest understanding, after you're already full, to the point where every piece of everything you eat is gasa and is painfully, to take Rabbeinu Tam's position, painful to eat, that isn't count. Doesn't count as eating. If you do it with truma, it is considered hefsid. You are right that when you eat something derech, that it is achila gasa. It's called hefsid,
okay,
but it is also. I see. Enough achila gasa that it's hefsid for shviat, but not enough achila
no,
that it's not achila.
It's not shviat in the best way.
Yeah, what about the arba kosot?
What? It's still you're still fulfilled. You're still drinking.
Yeah, so that comes to, that's a very, very specific, very interesting shita, but I don't know if it bears out in terms of the distinctions we have with achila gasa. It's true that Rabbeinu Tam thinks that there's different layers, levels of achila gasa that might be relevant in different halachot. You'd have to come up with a plausible, to do that, you have to come up with a plausible explanation that says that the standard of hefsid that a lower level of gasa-ness leads to is different than that which would negate the achila. I understand what you would do is you would say that you have to maximize it. So then you would say, so that level, so if I'm a little bit full, I have to stop eating Shemitah food in general. Okay, and this is why understanding the Havamina is important, because when you say something like that, your Havamina, the Yerushalmi, possibly, right, has led to, right, then you got to figure out, is that kept at all in Maskana? Okay, but who else? What else do you think?
Yiddish on something that has Kedusha Shvi'it. So
okay, good. Maybe it's a problem with the Kedusha. Why? Why would you think that?
It's kind of dumb.
No, it's not dumb. No, I think if you want to go that, no, what would you have said? No, come on, what would you have said? It's not. What would you have said? Why would that be a problem?
If you were going to use it for...
Kol davar shebe chova in ba ela min achulet. Right? We've seen this in the context of Mishloach Mana. Right? The idea that, yes, certain obligations you are not allowed to fulfill with something that has a pre-existing kedusha. Right? Right? There is a formal language you could put on it, which again, it gets into a question, is that really about chova? Is it about killing two birds with one stone? Is it really about kedusha? Right? Is Shvi'it really kadosh? Right? All those things. But there are such languages that we could use like that. And then, of course, you'd have to understand the maskana, which is it telling you that Shvi'it isn't kadosh? Is it telling you this isn't the right type of chova? All that type of stuff. Okay, what else? Anyone else? Or should we start? Okay, very good. So we could retroject a late minhag.
Well, we don't really know that's what the minhag was.
You're saying what you would have thought. Oh, okay. Right, so what you're doing is you're retrojecting. And now, in a Hanami, it's true that in the story that I gave you, right, I believe this Makarot packet, yes, I did. In the Makarot packet I gave you, in addition to the fundamental sugya, it deals with some of the ancillary issues, which is, okay, assuming now that it's mutter, are you allowed to spell out that? Are you allowed to overflow your yayin of Havdalah? So, yes, you are right that we will have to, after we deal with the fundamental sugya, where the answer is going to be mutter. We know the answer. The question is, what is the question? Right? The question is not what is the answer. The question is, what is the question?
Yeah.
We will have to deal with ancillary issues, like spilling it out. Okay, very good. But the minhag probably wasn't in existence then. Now, I have, in addition to what I gave you, I have in front of you, in front of me, Rav Asher Weiss's piece, which is, how many pages? Just two or three. Three, where he quotes it and he says, here are six answers from the Acharonim. They're all weird. Here's my answer, which I looked at and I said, I think that's weirder. I mean, normally he saves me from this, but I'm not sure, you know. Yes, in the end, he has seven suggestions. So let's see how many of them we can get out and see what we learn from it. Okay, who wants to give me another suggestion? Okay, go ahead. So now, if you want to quote me from an answer, quote it. And then I will clarify. The first thing you have to do is try, at least for 20 seconds, to defend the position that you quote, and then feel free to eviscerate it, okay? Feel free. Okay. So what was the... give me one. Give me one. Anyone. Whatever you want.
Right. So there was a whole lot of things about you try not to do two mitzvah.
You're really jumping ahead.
I read this page.
Oh, that's the summary page. I mean, I gave it to you for help, right?
Good thing we didn't.
No. Okay, well, let's leave that one. That's a little bit more complicated. So let's start with some of the. Well, let's start. Someone asked me about Lachem. Who asked me about Lachem? Was that because you read the Carbonada? Okay.
Yeah, I really dislike
Carbonada. Made like.
Okay, so let's start with the Carbonada. Fine. Okay, let's start with the Carbonada. The Carbonada said, "Mahu latzit biyayin shel shvi'it kevan delo karin be'lochem v'kasalka daitach arbakot bin lochem kamo matzah kich neyotzin b'matzah kach ein yotzin b'arbakotet olo." So the Carbonada said, "Aha, maybe it's like this. Maybe you need it to be lochem." Maybe it needs to be yours. Why would it not be yours? Now, first of all, why would it not be yours? Right. So there are so many assumptions when we use the carbon eight.
Wait.
No, it is.
Okay.
It's
not. So the first question is. Why would you think you need lochem? So his answer to that is you compare it to matzah, which he assumes needs lochem.
How do you compare that and that?
Okay, that's fine. Pesach. No, I'm sure that's what he's doing. So now there's a bigger problem. Is okay, why does he think it's not lochem? And toch kedei, what we're going to get in each answer is something surprising. Is what does he think? Let's take him seriously for a second. What was the havamina? Why? What is his maskana? So theoretically, his maskana is that you don't need lochem. But you really could have had two different maskana, right? Which is?
You need lochem, but it's okay anyway.
You need lochem, but it is lochem. Or you don't need lochem.
Yeah.
Right? Now, why would you think that you don't have lochem? Which, now, which one does the carbonator seem to say? That the maskana is you don't need lochem or you have lochem?
You don't need.
That you don't need lochem. Good. Which means that his conception of Shvit that leads him to believe that you don't have lochem is maintained limaskana. What is the problem with that? So let's get into the Gravenator's head. What is his havamina and maskana about the nature of Shvit?
Say that lochem is a complete lochem, so even though everybody owes it, it's not completely yours.
Okay, so we have two possible, right? So Josh says, well, maybe what he thinks is that lochem is, well, right, so he said, in order to figure out whether it's lochem, we got to go back to the question of ownership.
Yeah.
And we know it's hefker. And we already saw that there's two ways of understanding hefker.
Is it owned by
one is it owned by nobody or is it owned by everybody? Based on that, you need to deal with the next question, which is, once you've taken your possession, is it now, it was nobody's and now it's yours, or
it's now,
if you think it used to be everybody's, so then how do you view it when it comes into your property? Two possibilities, right? Which is either everyone, right? Either regardless of whether you think hefker used to mean it was ownerless or it was communally owned, once you take it to your property, it is now yours. Or if it was hefker, so now you'd say it's owned, right? But if you say it was communally owned, so maybe it's still communally owned, but
since you're part of the ownership, you can eat it.
Right, but since you're part of the ownership, you're allowed to eat it, right? That you're just partaking from the communal ownership. Which one does the Carbonator seem to believe? That. Right? The Carbonator seems to say that because his maskana is that it isn't lochem.
So anybody can just come to your house and take it if they want.
Well, maybe not. Maybe it's communally owned, but I have first dibs. I don't know. Well, now.
Not first dibs, you're
allowed to own your own property.
Yeah, but you can't like
right now.
Now
that is the only plausible I can construct of the Carbonator's position, right? Which is that he believes both in the Havamina and the Maskana that the Hefker of Shemitah is not really Hefker; it is communal ownership. Okay. And then he takes the next Kiddush, which is that even after you take it into your property, into your Rishut, it is not yours. You have the right to use it. And therefore, within that framework, because remember, nothing changes for him in how he understands Shemitah. His Havamina is you need Lachem for Arba Kosot. His Maskana is you don't need Lachem for Arba Kosot. But therefore, his Maskana is you don't really have Lachem with Peirot Shviyat. Before we look at the Mefarshim who challenge him, someone want to give me a kasha from any sugya we might have learned at some point this year that would throw many, many monkey wrenches into this Carbonator? Marriage. Remember marriage? Remember that? It works because it's yours. Remember that? I mean, yes, right. It's the Bavli. And yes, Yerushalmi is a little bit different. But come on. Like, there's a lot of evidence that whether originally was ownerless or owned, by the end, once you take it into your possession, it is.
Can you say that?
It's yours. That seemed to be pretty
plausible.
Can you say that his opinion is that it's owned by Hashem, and therefore he gives you special rights. Once you take it into your house, he gives you special rights.
Good, so maybe he could take it really fancy. That no, it remains owned by God, and God lets the first person who takes it have exclusive rights, but it retains it being God. Sure. That's fine.
Marriage and other things, it would make sense.
Yeah, someone want to give me... Now, does someone want to give me an even bigger problem? Someone want to throw yet an even bigger monkey wrench into this? Is that the Carbonaita has just introduced the possibility that you need lochem by Arbakosar, and therefore Peretzvi doesn't accomplish it. Is there any halacha you know about that every little child in elementary school and a good Jewish day school knows you need lochem? Etrog. Good, very good. Etrog. Someone remember the sugya in Sukkah that we spent a long time? What is the halacha about an etrog from Peretzvi? You're allowed to use it, right? So you know that halacha that actually has the pasuk lochem in it, you're actually allowed to use from Peirot Shviyat, which is why basically everyone rejects the Carbonaita out of hand. So if you want to look at the Rashash right here. The Rashash says Peirot Shakarbonaita Kevin Delor Karinan Bay Lachem. Because Salka Daita, right, says he doesn't say Lachem. And you might have thought you need Lachem just like by Matzah, right? So then look at the underlying part. The Li Saruch Iyun Tuva. I think this requires much investigation. A Dilama Lo Ikri Shalachem. Why yeah. isn't it yours? Halo Mifurash Katuv. He's like, I have this minor piece of evidence. It's called God. That says, Katuv ba vaita shabat haaretz lachem. Now, you could say it's different lachems, but remember, there's one lachem, and then the Torah calls, whatever you think Shviat is, the Torah calls it lachem. So, leave your lamdas, check your lamdas at the door. Right?
Wait, what is
right?
this? It's saying it's yours publicly, it's what he said.
Oh, well, we don't know what he said. We read it into it, please, okay, what he said. Right? And he says, and then he says, okay, fine. You don't like my lumdus? Hare Etrog.
There we go.
Beinon vadai lochem. Etrog is the paradigmatic case. Utnan biferush. Rachagimel. Halokeach ulov mechaver bishviyet. Notun lo Etrog b'matana. Remember, Etrog, the only problem that we dealt with was schora, was how do we get you the etrog, which is kadosh b'kedusha triyat. That was the sugya.
You said there's a problem.
Exactly. Ode. And then he says, and there's another problem, which is, where did he get arba kosod from?
Matzah.
And he just assumed matzah needs lachem.
Well, it's like, say it's mitzah lachem.
Yeah, except no. V'hadagabe matzah loktiv lachem. Right? Right, he says, yes, matzah yeah. doesn't say lochem. El yafinan lechem lechem michala.
Oh, right.
Right, we yeah. learn it from chala. We learn, he said, to the extent that matzah needs it, we get it from chala. What's the problem? Uvechala gufatnan, de shvir ochel isad shvir, achelor machalot achayev mita. Does chala apply during shmita? Also, yes. So he's like, okay, paradigmatic case, esrog, it's called lochem. Matzah, to the extent that it needs lachem, is derived from challah, which, guess what? Also, shvir is considered lachem for challah. So therefore, he says, you can just imagine him, you know, like,
fuming.
You know, fuming.
Have like a whole 10-page thing first of like,
saying how stupid he is.
He's just like, yeah. So he just says,
This one's for me.
Right? And then Rav Asher Weiss, of course, says, beyond that, why are you, right? This was Josh's question, which is, okay, I mean, I get Pesach, but like, why are you even comparing Arba Kosod to Matzah? So he's like, okay, there's like 28 moves you need to make this plausible, right? And none of them work. He's like, you need to compare Arba Kosod to Matzah, which itself is compared to Challah, but Challah is considered Lachem. Etrog, Lachem. Why is this not Lachem? It is Lachem. So, therefore, everyone looks at the Karban Eidah and says, okay, there are so many problems here. We are going to move on. So that's possibility one. Yay! What? No, remember the Karban Eidah is one of the most important Mefarshim on the Yerushalmi, right?
More than Rosh Aurelio?
No, the Rosh Aurelio is much earlier, but he doesn't write on all of them. Right? The Karban Eidah was Rav David ben Naftali Frankel from 1704 to 1762 Berlin. Okay. Good. So that's answer
half.
One.
Answer
one.
Half. Does it count as an answer?
Okay, let's try. So let's try two other very classic Mefarshim. Pnei Moshe. And the Tiklin Chadatin. Now, who is the Tiklin Chadatin? So the Tiklin Chadatin is only a parish on one Masechta of Yerushalmi, namely? No.
Shkalim.
Very good. Shkalim. Now, why?
Because what
does Tiklin Chadatin mean?
It means a new shekel.
Yes, new shekel. Shkalim Chadashim. That's what it means. It is a part of, one of the sugyot, many sugyot in Shkalim, is the sugyot of Shkalim Chadashim, of Tiklin Chadatin. So he named his book Tiklin Chadatin. Right?
He also gives a commentary.
No, he doesn't. Remember, this appears in Shkalim also. It appears in Shkalim also. Okay. Right? I mean, it's an identical line, so I didn't give you in all the places. But the Pnei Moshe, and so the Pnei Moshe here on the top says, Ma, right? On the left.
No, which thing? Oh, there it is.
Mao Latse Bian Shal Shviit. She Nitotar Lola Acharzman Biur. Yotin Bian Shal Shviit Afilo Imu Acharzman Biur to Mitzvah Kavit. Now, this is, if anything, actually possibly weirder than it. Because here's how it goes. And look at the Tekken Chazdin. The angel read Australia and Bokshamiga is Manbir, Lacharach Lafkiro.
What?
Yeah. So here's what he says. He says, aha. Well, we're dealing with a case where it's after Biur. So now let's freeze. If I asked you, Misvara, are you allowed to use Shviet wine for Arba Kosot after beer when you're not allowed to get Hana'ah from the wine bar?
Is there even after
beer? It's like using
Shviet. There is. It's just like much like.
How is there Kedusha Shviet after beer?
There is Kedusha Shviet.
After beer?
Of course. That's why there's beer, because beer on that which has Kedusha Shviet.
Rabbi, wouldn't be that
No, but after you perform beer, right? Like beer on Hana'ah or Shavuot or whatever, then the thing still retains.
No. Not that beer. Beer like the mitzvah of getting it either getting it out of your house or destroying it.
Oh.
That beer. Wait, after that. Now, what's the problem? The problem is, according to this, once it is after Zman Bir, it's Asur Bahana'ah. Definitely think you have to destroy it. Or if you haven't been mafkir it, so then it's Asur Bahana'ah, at least until you're mafkir it. What's the problem? What do we understand? The Havamina or the Maskana? The Havamina. Yeah. If it's Asur Bahana'ah, like you're not allowed to drink the wine, so then that's why you're not allowed to use it for Arba Kosot. What's the problem? Not the Havamina.
The
Maskana, which is, wait, so why can you use it? And what is their answer?
It's a mitzvah.
The Islam or mitzvah, because there is a magical rule.
Wait,
which is, remember we saw it by Hanukkah lighting? Mitzvah lavlei hadat ninu, which is, the performance of a mitzvah is not given over or doesn't count as hana. And therefore, it could be that the Maskana is yes, even after beer, when it's usher to get Hana'ah from it, the Yerushalmi is not telling you something obvious. It's in fact telling you something that is so not obvious that it stretches plausibility.
Wait, so...
Which is, you are allowed to use Perot Shviet wine for Arba Kosot, despite the fact that usher b'Hana'ah, because since you're doing a mitzvah, the fact that you're getting Hana'ah doesn't count.
Can you say that like, for a listener for that, you know, Truma too, where it has to be burned because it's kind of like, but you eat Truma, so I'm going to eat it anyway, even though it needs to be burned. You can't do anything with that.
Say it again?
But a Truma, where it becomes Tame, it needs to be burned. Oh, I saw the mitzvah eat Truma, so I'm going to eat it anyway, even though it has to be burned, and I can't do anything with it. Well, it's the same thing I did, right?
I mean, what do you mean?
That Truma has to be burned and because it's Tame. He would say the same thing. It's like, you can still eat it because you have a mitzvah.
Well, maybe that would be different because it's from a tomato as an Israel, but yeah, sure.
Rebbe, I have a question.
Someone want to ask me, I don't know, 3 trillion questions on this?
Rebbe.
3 trillion. I'm going to count.
Only 3 trillion.
Yeah, okay, yeah, go.
I have a quick question on the lack of ability to have Hana'ah from a mitzvah. From Shviat actually on this Dav Joseph, because like part of the mitzvah of Shviat is Afela, which is Hana and Bir at the same time. So part of it is that you actually get Hana from a mitzvah. So I don't understand how you could possibly plausibly say that it being a mitzvah negates the fact that you get Hana from it.
It just means you shouldn't like.
Get okay, so let so let me try to put a little more right formal language on it. So here's the rule. It's true that by many mitzvot, we say mitzvot v'adlei hanas ninu. And therefore, if you get Hana'ah in the process of a mitzvah...
Got rid of the mitzvah.
So, no, what? No, so the Hana'ah doesn't count, so you didn't violate. Yes, sir. There's a problem. First of all, it's not clear you're allowed to do that l'chatchila. It might be post facto. There's a second one, and this is maybe what Mordechai is getting at, which is there's an exception, according to the Ran. And that is all mitzvot that are food-related.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's one thing to say, like, some mitzvah where the Hana'ah is in front and center, that we can imagine
so that
the
Hana'ah
never
you
happens.
Literally make a bracha because you get Hana'ah.
Correct.
You look at
so,
like, no question
right. So many of the Acharonim say, wait. I understand.
Yeah,
I understand that that's by some mitzvah. But when there is Hana'ah haguf, when the mitzvah is wrapped up in Hana'ah, especially like food, That doesn't work. So if you look on page 3 here, right before the little arrowy thing, for example, Rav Yitzchak Frank asks that. He says, "Vizit gochak." This is a stretch. He says, first of all, it's true, but lechatchila you're not supposed to do this. Va'od. Hecha de'ika hanot haguf de mitzvot lehan katev aran benedarim de mitzvot lehanot nitnu lekulei alma asur. When it comes to food, when it comes to eating, everybody agrees that it is called hana'a. So, you know, no.
No, but the hana'a is the tafil.
No.
The ikar.
How can you
the mitzvah. And the hana just comes as like a, as like a.
How can you read that into the lines of the Gemara at all?
It doesn't say anything about beer or.
Oh, technical question. Oh, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with the discussion. Oh, Kasha, such a big problem. All right, now if you really wanted to defend this, you're not going to like this. You're really not going to like what I'm about to read. People try to defend it. It's really
not easy to defend.
Well, wine doesn't taste good, so it's not really getting enough from it.
I'm sorry.
So first of all, the Dov of Meisharim says, okay. Okay, one second. So he says, first of all, there are Rishonim. So he says, first of all, so the Dov Meisharim says, look, okay, maybe you can defend it. This is not so bad, which is that there are Shittot who disagree with the Ran and think that even by mitzvot, where there is Hana, mitzvot lovely, new applies. Okay.
How?
What?
How?
How what?
How would that apply there?
Meaning that the Hana doesn't count as an Isser.
Oh, okay.
Right? And therefore, maybe this question that Yerushalmi is based on that. No, the other, yeah, I don't, it's painful. Now, look, we're going to see this also in the context of the Chavilot, right? But we're not there yet. But another way of solving this problem would say, well, maybe the mitzvah you fulfilled at one stage, right? Like when it went in your mouth, right? Because you can distinguish when it's in your mouth, when it's your throat, when it's in your stomach.
No.
I told you you're not going to like it, but some of the Achronim pulls like one. That. it causes me pain too.
Didn't we already say that once you put in the mouth, the Achila and the beer have already happened because it's no longer like considered food because you don't want to eat it?
Well, say it again.
Wait. So, are they saying that the mitzvah of shmita would have happened when you put it in the mouth, in your mouth, but the mitzvah of arba kosod would have happened once it's down your throat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Rav Chaim Kanievsky has a fascinating perush. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, "Aha, maybe we're dealing with Erev Pesach, right?" So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, "Ah, here's what it is. It is about biur. Mishum the perush v'yad kishakol lemeimen as a chayav and bebiur min abayit al mishar atzmo k'dei mazon shalosh sudot." He said, "Here's this is like so. Oh my God! It's brilliant, but oh my God!" He says, "Here's what it is." He says, in the ninth perek, we discover that what is the zman biur shal yayin be'erev Pesach?
Erev Pesach.
Biur yayin is Erev Pesach. And therefore he says, aha, normally we say when you have to be mevayered, how much food are you allowed to leave for yourself?
Three
sudot. What's the problem?
You might have leftovers.
No. Four cups might be, maybe you would think that that's considered more than three meals, because maybe a normal person has a revi'it per meal. And therefore, if beer is Erev Pesach, and you're allowed to leave the amount of three meals, so you're allowed to leave three cups worth of wine, So you might have thought that therefore you're not allowed to leave 4 cups of wine. Oh, Kamash Malan, you are. How's that for?
It's a required thing. I don't know.
What I mean, it's brilliant.
It's brilliant, but it's like, okay. I mean, so the Havamina was that 3 meals meant you're only allowed to have a reviat of wine per meal. I mean, okay. I mean, he has his reasons for it, but that is,
okay.
Yeah.
Wait, so
okay.
What if you keep 2 sailors, though?
Too bad. So, okay. Rabbi Pesach Frank, if you turn to page 3, goes, and I hate to say this, somewhat in the direction of Josh. Because Josh, not Achila Gasa, but Josh had this idea that maybe something about the process of drinking the Arbakosot is not normal Achila. It's not normal Achila, it's Hefzid.
Yeah.
Now the Maskana would be, no, the mitzvah is to drink wine. Therefore, it's normal. But the Havamina was, you know, mitzvot are not like that. Now, the Haritzvi comes at this from a very interesting direction. And it goes like this. He has a whole bunch of things going on. This is from the Chazon. Actually, it's not actually the Haritzvi. He quotes the Chazon Nachum. So one of these Galician or Achronim. I forget which one. Nachum something. I'm going to read Rav Asher Weiss's summary. Okay. Uveshud Haritzvi Sham Hevi Od B'Shem Agon Bal Chazon Nachum. The Fi Divrei Tosfos Shabbat. It goes like this. We don't allow you to burn shemen srifa, meaning tamei trum oil, on Yom Tov, even for ochal nefesh. Why not? Because since there's a mitzvah to burn truma tmeya, even if you burn the truma tmeya to warm up your soup, the act is considered one of a mitzvah sreifa, a mitzvah of hefsed, and not a mitzvah of ochel nefesh, right? It's not considered cooking. Why? Because the fact that you're fulfilling an objective chiyuv by which requires destruction, even though in the process of destroying the tamei truma, you are also cooking your food, right? It doesn't matter. The act is not considered one of ochel nefesh. It's considered one of destruction, right? Because the Torah right? So therefore, he had a havamina that the achilat ha'adam is batel, because when you drink the wine, it doesn't take on a chalos of eating. It's a chalos of, I'm fulfilling arbakoso.
Maybe it depends.
Okay, so John, so good. So David says, boo. Rav Asher Weiss's version of boo is v'gam perush zed dachuk ad limeod. This is very stretched.
Could you explain how?
Yes, he says deshaini sreifa. Now this is, I know this is very complicated. Sorry here. Deshaini sreifa me achila. Burning burning is different than eating. I know this is very complicated stuff, people. Burning, I repeat, I know this is like mind, like earth shattering. Burning is different than eating. He says, disrefa, burning, mitzar atzma v'tiva ki luihi. Burning is what we call destroying. So therefore, it might be that this is considered burning and not cooking your food, because you know you're actually burning. But when you drink wine,
you're also getting rid of it.
He's like, that's not an Isser, it's two mitzvot, which will bring us back to Chavilah Chavilot.
No.
And then he says, Zushtia, this is going to be wild. Zushtia, Vizu, Shtia. This is drinking, and it's still drinking. He's like, on what planet is that called? A loss. Okay. So now we have.
No, we compare.
Why? Okay. So let's review what we have so far. Okay. We have the Karmana Eda who says, Hava Amina, it's not Lochem. Maskana is you don't need Lochem, but it isn't Lochem. Right? On that, we have two major kachas, which is one, you don't need Lochem at all, right? There's no evidence you need Lochem, right? B, even if you need Lochem, it is Lochem. How do I know it is Lochem? Because Etrog needs Lochem, and you can do it. Challah, you're only chayv in challah when the dough is Lochem, and that is the source for matzah, which is the source for comparing it to the Arba Kosot. And guess what? In that context, it's also Lochem. Plus, Misvara, why is it not Lochem? Peret Shviyat are Lochem. Either it used to be Hefker and now it's owned, or it used to be communally owned and now it's yours. In order to say it's not Lochem, you have to say it's communally owned or godly owned, and even when you're allowed to eat it, it remains that way in your possession. That was the Karban Eida. Then we had the Tikkun Chavtin and the Pnei Moshe, who says, no, we're talking about after Biur. And the Havamina was Mitzvot Lavlihan, isn't it, new? And maybe the Havamina was according to the Shita that's true even of Achila. Maskana is it's, right?
Allowed.
Why? Because the mitzvah does override it or something. Or you say, now the obvious kasha is, wait a second. We paskin that mitzvah's lav lehanos nitnu doesn't apply by, that rule doesn't apply by food. There the hana is relevant. So then you have to say, oh, maybe this is against the ra, right? Or something like that. A variation of the biur shita, right? Which does not rely on mitzvot lav lehanos nitnu, it was Rechaim Kanievsky, which is, maybe, since Erev Pesach is Vizman, you might have thought that you're only allowed to keep three sudot, and maybe three sudot means three revir of wine, kamash malan, either it's more in general, or for Pesach, since that's one of the next three meals, you can keep enough wine. No, maybe that defines the parameters of how much food you're allowed to have. I don't know. That's from Chaim Kanievsky. That's answer number three. Answer number four from the Chazal Nachum is, maybe, based on the comparison to Truma, where you're not allowed to burn Shem and Srefa, even to cook food on Yom Tov, because the act of burning makes that we don't recognize it fundamentally as an act of Ochel Nefesh, but an act of destruction. Kamash Malan. Not the case. And as Rav Asher Weiss says, or as to David said, what? Right? Boo. Right? Boo! How right? Is wait a second.
We compare them all.
No!
The time.
Because there's a difference between burning, which is plausibly destructive, and eating, which
it's
is, you know.
Destructive.
Okay, so the Chazon Nachum and Josh versus. Yes, there we go.
What?
To quote Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Asher Weiss has this thing. Sometimes he'll go, and he doesn't have a proof. This is what he says. Libi oimer li. My heart tells me, or as I once heard the next line to it was, my heart, I often say my heart tells me. And when my heart says something, I usually listen. Okay? Now, my heart says the same as Rav Asher Weiss, which is, no. I know it does. I get it. And you and the Chazon Nachum, I'm very happy for you. You have someone to support you. It's very nice. I think it's not right. And I have David and Rav Asher Weiss on my side.
David doesn't count as a negative.
Bro, you literally are so cringe. You're the guy who's like, mugging of rum? What is this mugging of rum thing? He doesn't know anything. He's so stupid. Oh, let me wear my tongue.
Okay, I'm still going to hold off on the mitzvah of Chavilah for a minute. Okay. So now, let me give you the Aderet. I don't think you have this on the sheet. No, I don't think you have it on the sheet. I have even more than you. That's why. I have even more shitot on my computer. Right? I was trying to save it. The Aderet, in his Perush on the Yerushalmi, on Tov Yerushalayim, says as follows. I'll look it from Rosh Weiss, but I did look it up to make sure that this was just basically a quote. He says as follows. Perush ha-bim vur od sham Yerushalmi, diyotze idei chovat arba kasod bein b'yayin chai bein b'yayin mazuk. He says, okay, Normally, the Yerushalmi holds that you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of Arba Kosot either with diluted wine or not diluted wine, Chai or Mazak, right? Then, so he says, Yerushalmi is asking as follows. V'shelat Yerushalmi im yotzin b'yayin chai shel shviyit, dalo osur lishto kilo kiderech. Shtia gets it, gets it. Yeah, right, like that thick syrupy thing, right, that they used to have. So maybe the Yerushalmi is like this. Maybe, normally, according to the Yerushalmi, you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah either with normal wine, which is diluted, or with that syrupy wine. The question is, what if you use the syrupy wine during Shemitah? What's the problem?
It's not normal
way to do it. Imkein avalei mitzvah haba ba'avera. The shasha of the chai avalei kamafsed yayin shel shviyat biyadayim. And therefore, it's actual hefsed, because you are now drinking it shelo kederech. V'chevin the mitzvah haba ba'avera lo yatsi lechavatel. And therefore, it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. Now, the obvious problem is, A, then what is the maskana? Right? Maskana is either it's normal, in which case you should always be allowed to eat and drink yan chai, which you're not. Also, as Rav Asher just says, A, v'ikr chasra menas sefer. First of all, where did you see that in the Yerushalmi?
You don't see any of them.
Oh, so that's true. No, but he says, definitely according to him, it shouldn't have asked, can you shmita the wine? It should have said, undiluted shmita wine, because that means there is no shaila on normal wine. Right, I mean, normal wine was mazuk. Normal wine was diluted, right? And therefore, he's saying, wait a second. How can the Yerushalmi phrase it as, can you use Shemitah wine for Arba Kosot, when it means undiluted wine, when normal wine is diluted?
Isn't there normal wine undiluted?
And he says, furthermore, according to this formulation, it's not just true of Arba Kosot. It should be true of Kiddush. It should be true of every... mitzvah. And he says, now there's another problem, that at least in the Bavli, what's the problem? In the Bavli, and it's not clear, right, is, at least according to the Bavli, if you drink undiluted wine, you're not Yotzei Arba Kosot, right? So therefore, right, this would have to be within, right, against the Bavli completely. Right, even the whole question, even the maskana now would have to be against the Bavli, and if we don't have to, if we're not shoved into that position.
We're not spoiled wine. We said spoiled wine.
Come up with that, I don't know. Okay, so that's answer six. We've seen something of that. I don't know. Fine. Or Sameach.
Animal food wine.
Or Sameach.
Animal food.
Okay, the Or Sameach has yet another Perish. The Or Sameach has yet another Perish. Okay? The Or Sameach... I don't know. Does it? It might be. Was it? I think most of these were about Chavila. I think I only gave you like three or... Oh, no. I mean... Well, look, if you look in the Sholem Darshan, if I remember correctly, he quotes a bunch. On page six, he quotes a bunch of different shitot. So he has a bunch of others. Okay, so the Or Sameach gets another one, and he says, so this is similar to the Sholem Darshan.
Is the first one?
What? Oh, yeah, very good. Okay. Yeah, so he does quote it. So the Or Sameach says as follows. The Be'inon, he understands as follows. This is page six. Levar Svekir Shushami, the Be'inon Likidush Yayin Haroi Lanasa Chagabi Mizbeach. The halacha is that for Kiddush, you need wine that is worthy of going on the Mizbeach. Okay. Urishalmi Shamhevi Be'inon in terms of quality. In terms of quality.
Okay, so it's not about. It's not just about, like, the status.
No, it's about quality. So then he says the context there is talking about all types of different qualities. Is your grandfather here yet? Okay. So it's, right, the context in Rishami is all types of things with different qualities. And he says that this wine is not ra'oi Ligabe Mizbeach. Now, why is it not? Sorry. How is the Or Sameach taking it? The Or Sameach assumes that Roy Lalot Al Gam Mizbeach is not only about quality, it's also about halachically. If it can't go on the Mizbeach, you can't use it for Kiddush. Now, what's the problem? Are you allowed to use this wine on the Mizbeach? No, why not? Because it's Shviat wine, L'achla B'l'Tzreifa. You're not allowed to burn it, right? Now, what's the problem according to this? The maskana is you are allowed to, right? Which shows you that Ro'i Lalos Al Gam Mizbeach doesn't mean it actually needs to go on Mizbeach. It's about
its ability.
It's about quality, right? Or something like that. And therefore, if there's an external isser, that is not enough to make it.
Is it isser?
But it's not, meaning the wine is of good quality, it's just that you're not allowed to destroy it. There's nothing wrong with it for Kiddush because you're allowed to drink it.
No, but it
has to. And furthermore, now according to him, now the bigger problem is that according to the Or Sameach, where should the Gemara have asked this question?
By there?
By Kiddush. According to him, fundamentally, it's a rule by Kiddush, not by Ramakosa. The rule of comparing it to the Mizbeach is Dafka by Kiddush.
Okay.
The Sholin Vidarshin, yeah, let's... Okay, you know what? Let me give you Rav Asher Weiss, and then we'll read the Sholin Vidarshin, and I guess tomorrow we'll do Chavil and some of the other issues around it, okay?
Wait, so,
one second. No, don't. So Rav Asher Weiss says as follows. He says, Lulei divrei ha'achronim ha'yinir lefarash b'darcha pshat. He has another... He said, if it weren't for all these achronim, he would have given a different one. The cheven shematzui sheshotin dalet kozit lo hana'aklal. Now this is to me very mechudash. He thinks it's also a din of hesed. And here's how it goes. At the average meal, you don't have 4 cups of wine. Right. And therefore, maybe
except
you don't...
Like
that's my kasha. Yes. So he says, so maybe having 4 cups of wine is not really enjoyable. And therefore, right, and especially since you're supposed to drink all the whole cup, and some people hold that even if you have a big cup, right, that you have to have the whole thing. And therefore he says, based on the sort of like the Achila Gasa Svara, this is sort of like the Achila Gasa Svara of Josh, which is, since this is not the way people normally consume wine, so the Havamina was, maybe it's not enjoyable, and therefore it's some sort of hefsid. And what's the maskana?
It's always enjoyable.
So his is actually, is, well...
people do drink that much.
Right, so his maskana is that, no, the only time it's usher is maybe when it's actually a chilagaza, but the fact that you're drinking a little bit more than is normal, it's still enjoyable, right, it's mutter, and this is not shalokiderech. Right, shalokh derech is maybe achila gasa. The fact that I don't normally have this much wine, right, is not enough shalokh derech. Now, my big problem with a Rosh Weiss is, as Josh said, and I mentioned this last week, yes, is that it's clear in the Gemara that people at meals normally had like 10 cups of wine, right? And that's why, right? And that's why in the Sugyos and Ksubos about Avelos, they talk about at a base Avel, you have 10 cups, 14 cups. I mean, people clearly had a tremendous amount of wine at their meals, and therefore. No, because it said that they tried to up it, and they were like, no, that's too much. It went back to 10, right? Like, that was like the...
Also talks about how, like, Rebbe used to have,
and also,
like,
honestly, is 4 cups so crazy? 4 Revius cups,
yeah,
so crazy?
Obvious.
And really?
Yeah.
Over the course of a several-hour meal? I mean, really? Remember, it's a Revius cup. You're talking, let's say, a Revius, let's take... A round number, it's 4 ounces, which is pretty high, right? Let's say, according to many shita, it's more like 3.3 or something. I mean, 4 cups of that, you're talking a cup and a half, less than 2 cups of wine, less than 2 8 glasses of wine. That's not like, I mean, I'm failing to really understand the mitzius of what Rav Asher Weiss is saying. I mean, really, it's not normal to have like a cup and a half of wine over the course of like a 3-4 hour meal. I mean, maybe you don't normally have it, but it's not like crazy. And again, Rav Asher Weiss is saying that this only works if you hold that you have to have the lechatkila, the whole cup, and you paskin like the machmirim, that even if you have a huge cup, you have to have the whole cup. But maybe you would just say like you know, Joe's little cup that he got that's exactly Raviyat. So maybe the answer is get yourself a Raviyat cup, right? Either have the whole cup or have Rove Kos. I mean,
maybe
how much wine are we talking? Get yourself a weak wine. I mean, whatever. I mean, it's disgusting, obviously. But like, I mean, nobody should be having four cups of like Moscato. But that's because that's my personal opinion. It's like soda. But like, it's not like that much alcohol. What? So I have four cups of grape juice. Do you think, I mean, honestly, my kids, you don't think they could have four cups of grape juice? If I let them, I mean, they wouldn't enjoy every minute of it. I mean, come on.
It's not guaranteed to have two cups before having an actual meal, and you eat it during the meal. You don't drink wine during the meal.
No, people drink wine not during the meal. Yeah. You don't, because you don't like
wine. On an empty stomach where you weren't allowed to eat from, like, half
the food of the day.
Stop, that's you.
You're not allowed to eat. Like a certain part of the day, right?
So you're like on a complete empty stomach, and you're having
dry food and wine.
Yeah,
it's not derech achila, Rabbi, at all.
No, Josh being dochik.
How's it being dochik? How did the fish? That's not the answer.
Okay, we still have a few minutes, so let's actually look at the Shoal and Medarshan, okay? So the Shoal and Medarshan summarizes a few different positions, and again, I guess tomorrow we'll start with the mitzvah kavila, because that's a little bit more. Involved. So he said, the Shloshim Makomot of Yerushalmi, we'll sort of skim through it. In three places in Yerushalmi, it asks this question. Everybody wants to know, right? Follow the underlines. Rabim hitchabtu lahavina divrei Yerushalmi. Everyone is trying to figure out, what? Right? What is Yerushalmi talking about? So first he quotes the Or Sameach that we just said, right? Which was, you need ro'i la'ol gam mizbeach. And you can't because you're not allowed to destroy it. So next paragraph. Baram, near ed de endi mayon ben asafik le'inyan yayin shal shviyat le'inyan yayin uvoshov yayin kundutin. Shayin halalu be'emet bitzat atzvam einen nechshavim le'yayin v'zeo chisar megov ha'yayin. He said the simple understanding, as we said, is that the psul of needing wine that's going on the mizbeach is not that it actually needs to go on the mizbeach, but it's a halacha in the quality of the wine. Right? Intrinsically, there needs to be something lacking in the wine that makes it that it can't go on the mizbeach. That's not true of yain. That's true of the other wines, like yain mevushal. Right. This is, by the way, why some people are machmir and have non-mevushal red wine at night on Friday night. Right, it's for this reason, right? To have something because mevushal wine is a royal halal on the mizbeach. By the way, this was. If you want a little bit of history, you should know that one of the biggest polemical machlokot in American Jewish psak was about this question.
As like, does white wine work?
No. Grape juice. Right? Grape juice. Why? When do you think this machlokas became a huge deal?
And like all the teen things were like, oh, they're drinking too much wine.
During Prohibition.
Oh, that's
when Jews were using the claim that they need wine for Kiddush to run an underground alcohol business, and it was creating a tremendous Chilul Hashem.
Ooh.
And there was a huge contrast put out to defend using grape juice to basically argue that Jews don't need wine to pull this heter out by Lewis Ginsburg, right, from JTS, who wrote a very, very, very long tshuva. I once got an original copy. It was in the Gush Library. It's like this old contrast from, you know, it's like whatever. But that was like when the politics really started. I mean, this is a little bit later, but that's what drove the real politics behind it. And he paskin, you could use grape juice. Interestingly, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva where he says the same thing, but there is a time delay, right? Because it apparently got heated, right? And there's a lot of, also you discover there were a lot of rabbis who were involved in the illegal alcohol trade, because they would like take a cut from the Jewish mafia to give them the rabbinic stamp of approval that they were involved in. So this issue became really, really a big
plastic
deal.
Mug in a frog.
We had mafia posted. No, but we had mafia posted.
Why do you think that mug in a frog is like bad takes?
He's not from that era.
You're so whatever.
Are they
coming up with a movie about some of the Jewish mobsters, right? But the most infamous, Meyer Lansky, who was called Lansky.
I definitely heard of
it. Purple Gang or something. I don't know. I forgot.
Yeah. So right. So therefore, he. So that's his first question on the Or Sameach, which is that isn't the psul of going on the mizbeach only when there's a lack in quality, right? Second question. Va'od ish lahak shel divrei Or Sameach. The dvar of laman is dapku Yerushalmi rak le'inyan shviat arba kod minyan shel shviat. Right. Again, the other question is you should have asked about kiddush, right, and not about arba kosot. And then he says, and how do you know you can't? Then he says, I have another kasha. He says, and maybe it is mutter, right? Right? Maybe the only problem with shviat wine is that you can't do it abnormally. Maybe nisoch al mizbeach is actually mutter. I'm not sure that that's true. Okay, we'll come back to this question of Havdalah from the Rav Tzion Abba Shaul. So then let's skip. Skip to the next paragraph. We'll come back to this question of Havdalah. Another pshat he quotes from Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, based on Mariel Diskin, is maybe you're worried that you're going to have leftover wine. Right? Maybe that was the concern, is that you're drinking four cups, you have leftover wine, and it will lead indirectly to Hafsid. And the maskana would be you're allowed to run that risk because you're allowed to.
Right. Well, there was a machlokas as to whether or not you can do something if there's a possibility of voice.
Yeah. Another possibility he raises is another possible svara. Again, I don't even know what number we're on. 8, 9, 10. Who knows? Right. Is that maybe the Hava Mina, as David said before, is it's priat chov. Right, remember? So now I'm not going to rehash that whole discussion for you. But if you remember, when we did Mishloach Mano, we saw that there were Achronim who thought that the Priyat Chov that we're talking about, if you're not allowed to be Pareya Chov with Per Shvit, includes Chov of a Mitzvah. And then we saw that either the Maskana is that's not the type of Chov we're talking about, or certain types of Mitzvot are uniquely qualified to be Mutter. Right? Now, so he raises that possibility, but he says it's not right because the simple pshat is that it's the wrong type of priyat chov, right? But he says, but maybe that was the suffix of the Yerushalmi, and maybe that in fact is the Hava Mina Maskana, right? That's a nice move, right? Which would say you're right. The Havamina of the Yerushalmi was that it's the wrong type of Priyat Chov, right? That any obligation is Asur, and the Maskana is it's the right type of Priyat Chov, that it's only a Priyat Chov, which is Schora-like, that is Asur. No. Now, of course, then he gets into a whole deal, and if that's the case, so maybe you should have asked that about Kiddush also. Right, and then he quotes the Lachem Svara, which he also doesn't like, and then he offers yet another possibility, which is own. This is very mechudash, right? Which he gets from he got from the Divrei Yisrael of Yisrael Veltz, is maybe the following: since during Shemitah you aren't allowed to work the field, maybe the quality of wine that's produced is lower.
Really?
Yes.
That's stupid.
And therefore, he said the Havamina is that it's that Shemitah wine is just lower quality, and that's why it's usher. And maybe the Maskana is it's fine, either because it's not that bad or yes, it is. So, but that's his suggestion. Okay. So now we've seen like I don't know 8 answers, 9 answers.
Maybe it's wine from somewhere.
So what we'll do tomorrow is, because I do think that the next one, even though I think it's a very hard read in the Sugya, is a very important thing to think about in general, which is, and also it'll do Chazara. So here's the last shot we're going to see. Again, we've seen like 8 of them already, are those who base themselves on the idea of Enos and Mitzvot Chavilot, that you're not allowed to do Mitzvot in bundles. Right? And the reason that this is Mechudash, both because of how it understands the problem of mitzvah Kavilot Kavilot, but also because it goes back to the question of what is the nature of the mitzvah of Achilot Perot Shviyat? Because obviously to figure out whether it's mitzvah Kavilot Kavilot, you have to figure out whether it is in fact really a mitzvah in the right way. So we'll do the mitzvah Kavilot Kavilot tomorrow. Because again, that I think is a more, you know, involved sugya there. The other thing we will deal with briefly is the question of like spilling out the wine a little bit, and within that we'll briefly talk about, just because you know it's a good time as ever to talk about the issue of like havdalah, the same thing where people have the minhag of, you know, overflowing the wine. Can you do that when you're using shemitah wine? Right, it's the same related. So again, we'll sort of just wrap up before this mon with a little bit of a lighter day. Right, today we did like 8, 9, 10.
Oh my god!
I will admit, by the end, my maskana is I don't know. I have no good answer to this. I have no good explanation.
That's why you go with the
not
the chazanacha.
No, that's why you don't go with
the... Okay, guys, take a break before Noam's grand.